that a communion of saints, whether that be the church corporate or a congregation, a local manifestation of the body of Christ, gathered around the body of Christ, would actually disintegrate into dissension, discord, and division, into a sense of competition or conflict, even immorality, and rationalizing my carnal needs by some theologizing into a bizarre form of piety, or simply thinking that in the end, so also all along the way, and even now, it's really about me. That would never happen amongst the people of God, right? Well, maybe amongst those carnal Corinthians, but never amongst us. Of course, Paul points out up front that that congregation was not lacking in any spiritual gift. So what do we make of that? That even the gifts of the Spirit could become part of and party to the things that divide us, competing maybe for the most boxes ticked off on some spiritual gifts inventory, or by turning the many and various gifts of the Spirit into things that we do, or at least like to keep track of, all for the sake of the kingdom of Christ, to be sure. If Paul is concerned about the gifts of the Spirit here, it's not about finding yours on some inventory list. It's about the unity of the body of Christ, its identity and its purpose, with all parts contributing to the whole. And if anyone is indispensable, it's the weakest, the least honorable parts, even the unpresentable parts of the body, to be treated with special modesty and honor. For, you see, it is really within our own universal humility and even shame that we find our common bond in humanity. And so, we find our one common bond in salvation, and in the one universal Spirit-given gift that unites us all, the one that actually separates us from all others, for no one can say Jesus is Kyrios, except by the Holy Spirit. Here, sola gratia comes home. Sola gratia. Without Christ, we are nothing. Without the Spirit, we do not know and confess Christ, and we are nothing. Without God, we are nothing. We would be both weak and most dispensable, but God has considered us actually honorable and quite worth saving. The dispensable becomes the most indispensable, solely out of His grace and mercy and love. And the greatest of these gifts is God's love in Jesus Christ. So, united in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and celebrating the koinonia of the very body and blood of that one Lord, we are buried to sin and alive with Christ. We are resurrection people. It's hard to imagine that such a people, such a communion of saints, whether church corporate or any congregational local manifestation of the body of Christ gathered around the body of Christ, could ever degenerate into dissension, discord, and division, in competition and even conflict, in rationalizing my carnal needs by theologizing them into some distorted form of piety, or simply thinking that in the end, as all along the way and even right now, it's really about me or my congregation. Actually, that's really quite inevitable. Justus, indeed. Simo et peccator. And so it goes, the body of Christ struggling to be the body of Christ. Not just a bunch of individuals coming together to meet my needs or find my place, though here in the Lord's house our ultimate needs are met, and at the Lord's table our ultimate needs are met, and here we all have our place. Most indispensably, the weakest and least honorable, because what brings us together is not ourselves, but the Spirit of Christ. So how do resurrection people live? First, in the daily forgiveness of our sins, including all those that would distort the unity of the body. We live by the daily reaffirmation that we are born again by baptismal grace into Christ's death and resurrection, dead to sin and alive in Christ. Secondly, resurrection people know that we are all united in the humility of grace before God and one another, that claims or desires nothing of ourselves or does nothing on our own. For remember, no one can confess that Jesus is Kyrios without the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, resurrection people are marked by their common care for the whole. When a foot hurts, we all hurt. When a hand rejoices, we all rejoice. And then it's easy, right? Just go forth to be the people of God into all the world, giving witness to Christ, giving witness to his death and resurrection, giving witness to the new life and the new way of life that is ours as resurrection people, more than the sum of the persons of God, but the people of God, the eyes seeing and the ears hearing, the feet walking and the hands handling and the teachers teaching and the leaders leading. It's a whole body that needs all its members and cares for them in shared hurt and honor. Yes, even takes up a collection for those in need, sharing the first fruits of the new creation in freedom and in joy, greeting one another with a holy kiss or maybe a handshake, the peace of the Lord. Jesus, curious, be with you. Desiring not recognition for our own gifts or roles or functions within the body, but each contributing to the whole, all of us desiring the greater gifts and confessing that which is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins and was raised again on the third day, to give us new life, resurrection life of the kingdom of God, of which Jesus, and only Jesus, is indeed Kyrios, Lord, God, and King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.